Excited about tonight. The Lord's hand has really been on this program, and we're excited to bring it here tonight. We were privileged, as you know, to go to Dollywood this year and what God did there, and it's really exciting to see. We have some of my people from my hometown where I grew up in Mill Run in the mountains are driving in tonight. So Kim says, get ready, the mountain people are coming. So they're coming in from Mill Run today. To be here tonight. Whenever we were out there, they were in Dollywood when we were there. And then when we were in Dollywood, they were home. So they wanted to have a chance to see this. So they're driving. So we're excited what God's going to do this evening. So be in prayer throughout the day. If you can, be back tonight. As we come to scripture this morning, we come to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to be looking at the whole chapter, but I'm only going to be beginning by reading the first 11 verses. But we'll be referring to the whole chapter in a very, very familiar portion of Scripture as we continue our theme together on looking at the life of David in this series. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succoth in Judah. They pitched their camp at Emsdomim, between Succoth and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill, the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out from the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs were bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come up and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were amazed, dismayed, and terrified. Here's a reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us. And this morning, as we gather around your word once again, and as we open up and look into a familiar portion of your word, a story that all of us have heard so many times, I pray that through your word, Lord, you will speak to us anew and afresh. Lord, that the giants in our life, those things that terrorize us, that they will be laid at your feet, and that you will teach us how through your word and how through your power that we can slay those giants that attack and terrorize us in our life as well. Lord, thank you for your word and its power in our life. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This year is an Olympic year, was postponed from last year, and I've always enjoyed watching the Olympic Games, whether they're the winter or the summer. I like the winter games over the summer ones, but I always enjoy watching the Olympics. And there are many memorable moments from the Olympics over the years that a lot of us can maybe recount or remember that brought highlights to us. Perhaps you may remember 1976. Innsbruck, Austria, a young girl by the name of Dorothy Hamill, who won a gold medal for the United States in figure skating. She became so popular with that Hamill camel that she did that everybody, all the girls, wanted to go out and get a Dorothy Hamill haircut. Remember that one? Or maybe you remember in Calgary, Winter Olympics in 1988, when this team from Jamaica, who had a bobsled team from out of nowhere, took the world by storm when Jamaica had a bobsled team. And you may remember that, and they made a movie about that called Cool Runnings. Another great Olympic moment. Or more recently, in the Olympic moment when we had medals that were won. But perhaps of all the most important Olympic moments that stand out to me, there was one that is all the greatest one that I ever always remember, and I think will always be at the top for me. And that was the miracle on ice. The miracle on ice, which occurred in Lake Placid, New York in 1980, when in the height of the Cold War, when relations between the United States and the former Soviet Union were pretty intense, a group of nobodies, college students who never really were together until they got together for this to practice and to join this hockey team, a group of nobodies took on the Soviet machine, where the Russian hockey team had been dominating in hockey for a year, and they were dominated. Nobody could bring them down. And if you remember that miracle on ice, when the United States, those unknown boys, amateurs, brought down the greatest hockey team in history. And that was a celebration. That was great joy. A movie was made about that as well called Miracle. That truly was what I would call a modern day David and Goliath story, where David took on Goliath and won. This morning, we're looking at a famous story that we all know, have heard so often, the story of David and Goliath. Perhaps even people that do not have too much of an understanding of Scripture, the story of David and Goliath is one almost everybody has heard. Even if people haven't been raised in the church, it's a story that is kind of familiar. And we have heard it countless times. When we were in Sunday school, it's one of the first stories we learned. But yet, as we continue through the life of David, this is one of the key points in his life. And from it, this story that is well known, we have a lot that we can learn because it speaks to us this morning. Just a little bit of background. There's the miracle on ice as they celebrated and won that great victory. But just a little bit of background. The scripture opens by saying that this battle took place in a valley, the Valley of Elah. And it was about a mile apart. One side, the Israelites were encamped. The other side, the Philistines were encamped. And there was a valley in the middle. And we're told that every morning, Goliath, the great champion, would come down out of the Philistine side. And he would come down here in the middle of this valley. And he would shout out, saying, "Send somebody to fight me." It was going to be a representative battle. One person from Israel against the Philistine giant. And he said, "Send someone to fight me, and whoever wins this battle will be declared the victor, and the whole side will win, one person who needs to fight." But for 40 days and 40 nights, he came out, and he challenged the nation. And he issued threats, and he issued taunts. And it says that Saul and the army were terrorized and trembled in fear, because this giant seemed like there was no way he could be defeated, and it seemed like they were hopeless. You and I have giants in our life too, giants that terrorize us, that bring us into that place of fear, and we feel it's like a mountain in front of us, and how are we ever going to attack or bring this giant down? This morning, as we look into this well-known portion of Scripture, we're going to discover five principles on how we can face the giants in our life. And not only face them, because in order to beat them, we have to face them, but how we can face them and also win and have victory over those giants that beset us. The first principle we learn is if we're going to attack and win, we need to face our giants head on. Face your giants head on. And that's what David was going to do. The scripture says that every day as they came out and issued those threats, Saul and the army did nothing. They remained silent. As he said, Goliath issued his threats and said, "I defy God. I defy the armies of Israel." And they sat and did nothing about it. But David was not going to give in to fear. We face our giants head on by not giving in to fear. Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to intimidation. Because giants like to cause us to fear. Now, giants can be intimidating in our life. Goliath certainly was. Look how the Bible describes him in verse 4. He said it was a champion. He was named Goliath, and he came from the town of Gath, which is still in existence today. It's Gaza. And he was over 9 feet tall. Actually, he was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Now, to put that in perspective, I'm not a basketball fan, but the NBA basketball rims are 10 feet tall. So Goliath easily almost came to the top of a basketball rim. Now add on top of that, 9 feet, 9 inches tall, and add his arm span when he would put his arms up in the air. Imagine if you were coming against somebody like that. Would that be intimidating to you? That's an awful big giant. In addition to that, he had a suit of armor that the Bible says weighs 5,000 shekels. Now, we don't understand that measurement. We understand pounds. So putting that into pounds, it's 250 pounds. His suit of armor that he wore was 250 pounds. That's not counting his own weight. And then he had a spear, and on the tip of his spear, the spear's tip weighed 25 pounds. And then he had a shield bearer in front of him who carried a shield, and the shield was as big as a whole man, about as big as me. Now imagine facing a giant 9.9 inches tall, with a 250-pound armor on him and a spear weighing 25 pounds, and you're David, who is, I believe, probably a teenager, going against this. Would that bring fear and intimidation to you? Giants can intimidate us. It intimidated the army. It intimidated Saul, and he wanted someone to fight. He sent out a word to the man. He said, anybody that comes and fights them, I'm going to exempt your family from taxes. Boy, that's a good reason. Not have to pay taxes. And he said, you can marry my daughter, which ended up being snared David later. But no one took him up on it. Saul was the leader, should have been the one. Remember, the Bible says that he was head and shoulders over everybody else. He was the tallest one in Israel's army. So if ever there was anybody that should have went against him, it should have been Saul. But he had given in to the fear, intimidation. And David did not. And we read that David, for 40 days, every day for 40 days, he issued this challenge. You say, well, what's the point? That's how giants can be. Because every day a giant can taunt us. And they'll come in the morning and attack. They'll come in the evening and attack. And they'll breathe their threats in us. And every day we feel helpless because this giant continues to terrorize us and we feel there's no way to get over victory. You ever had that relentless assault in your life? And it can be discouraging. It was for the army. It says they were dismayed when we got to verse 11. They were dismayed and they were in fear. And what did they do? So David was sent by his father Jesse to check on his brothers and how they were doing in the war. So he got there, and he heard the threats, and he heard Goliath breathing out his defiance as he normally did. And David says, I will step forward, and I will face this giant. I am not intimidated. I am not afraid. Why? Because he had the strength and the boldness of the Lord, as we'll see. But don't give in. If we want to face our giants, don't give in to fear and intimidation by those giants. Also, don't give in to fear and intimidation by our family. Because when we want to face the giants in our life, or we want to go deeper in our relationship with the Lord, we can feel sometimes people will not like that. Notice what happened in verses 27 through 29. As David stepped forward and said, I will fight the giant, his oldest brother, Eliab, who was the one who Samuel thought should have been king when God said, I've rejected him. When David's oldest brother heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and he said, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? That was meant to be an insult. He said, I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You've only come down to watch the battle. You know, sometimes when we want to go deeper in our relationship with the Lord and we have those things that we want to deal with, sometimes our family members may discourage us. Sometimes those we love the best and are closest to us can sometimes be negative in their indictment of us sometimes. They can bring words that can be discouraging. And David didn't give in to that. When he heard what Eliab said, he just dismissed it, and he went on. So then he went to the king, and he said, I will fight him. And he said, what will be done? And they told him. So he went to Saul and said, don't lose, verse 32, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart on account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. I volunteer. And Saul said, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man from youth. So there you go. David didn't want to give in to intimidation by the giant. So he volunteers and said, I'll face the giants. Then we have his family opposing him. We have the king opposing him. Everyone trying to discourage him. Has that ever happened in your life? And sometimes fellow believers can discourage us sometimes, not meaning to, but, and that can be the case. So don't give in to the intimidation of others. Don't give in to the intimidation by the giant, but go forth and face our giant. You know, don't give in. It also means that we also have to call it, if we're going to face our giant, we have to call it what it is. Look at verse 26. When David said, what is will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Then he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David was the only one there who saw Goliath for who he really was. He saw him as somebody who was defying God because he said, every day I defy the Lord. And no one else challenged him. David stepped forth and saw the giant for who he was, as an enemy of God. Our giants can be fearsome and intimidating, but we need to call them what they are if we're going to deal with them. To David, to Saul in the army, David was too big, Goliath was too big to hit. But for David, he was too big to miss. For Saul in the army, they saw him as this huge giant. David, through the eyes of the Lord, next to the Lord, Goliath was a dwarf. When he looked at the eyes of God and said, my God is bigger than Goliath by far, and Goliath was a dwarf in the eyes of God, according to David. He said, and he saw him for what he was, an enemy, someone who despised and denied God. Our giants can be fearsome and intimidating, but what are some of the giants you and I face? We're not fighting a big, big physical giant in front of us who terrorizes us. But what are some of the giants you and I face? Well, one is fear. We face that giant of fear in our life. Maybe its fear can come from a lot of different things, but it can be just as fearsome and terrorizing. Or we have the giant of self-doubt, where we doubt ourselves, where we doubt what we can do or our abilities, or we doubt a lot of things. We have the giant of anxiety. That's a big one, isn't it? That giant of anxiety, it seems like we just can't ever get over. And every day it terrorizes us. Every day it's relentless in its assault. We have the giant of worry. And we worry about a lot of things. We have the giant of financial pressures. And that can be a giant in our life. We have the giant of health concerns and health issues, and they can be real. And sometimes these things seem like giants, and we can give in to terror. We have the giant of family issues in our family that really can be a concern to us. We have the giant of loneliness, and sometimes that can be a really bad one, the giant of loneliness and despair. We have the giant of personal struggles, of habits that we can't seem to get victory over, of sins in our life that nobody knows about, but we can't seem to get victory over. And we have the giant of a culture that is getting more increasingly evil and hostile to the faith and wants to silence us and tell us that we can't express our faith in the public square, that we got to keep quiet and try to stop what we do. These are just some of the giants you and I face in our life, but they're real. And if we're going to deal with them, don't give in to the intimidation of the giant and call the giant for what it is. Realize what it is. And that's the first step, and face it head on. David did. He was going to face that giant head on. He says, I will take this giant on. If nobody else will, I will. Let me at him. And I will bring this guy down with God's strength. Second principle we discover if we want to beat these giants, is to remember past victories. Remember what God has done for you and I in the past, and that God is faithful. What he's done in the past, he will do. Verses 34 to 37, David relates to this King Saul when Saul says, "You're only a young man. How can you face this giant?" David said, "Sir, when I was taking care of my father's sheep, a lion came and attacked the sheep, and I had victory, and I destroyed that lion, and I saved the sheep. And a bear came, and I attacked the bear, and I killed the bear, and I had victory over that." And he said, "The same God who gave me victory over the lion and the bear is going to give me victory over this menace, Goliath." He said, "Because God was faithful in the past to give me victory, he'll give me victory in the future." Chuck Swindoll points out in his book on David, and he makes this statement. He said, "So often when facing our giants, we forget what we ought to remember, and we remember what we ought to forget." He said, "We remember our defeats, and we forget our victories." And see, that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to remember our defeats when we face a giant and said, "There's no way you can beat this guy. There's no way you can get rid of this giant of fear in your life. There's no way you can get rid of this giant of anxiety, the giant of worry. You just can't. It's too great." But when we remember in the past when we had victory and we were able to face that giant and we had victory over it, we can have power again to do it in the future, because David was confident because God had given him victory in the past. He was assured God would give him victory in the future. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And if he was faithful to us in the past to give us victory, you think he's going to abandon us in the future? No. And we have that confidence. And remember what God did in the past, the victories that you were able to win, even if they were small, whenever you faced a temptation and you were able to overcome it. If God gave you victory in the past, he'll do it in the future too. The third principle is to rely on God's strength alone. That's what David had to learn. And he faced this giant in the strength of the Lord, not in himself. Verses 38 to 40, as the story continues, Saul then agreed and said, "Okay, I'll let you face him." So Saul dressed David in his own tunic, and he put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened his own sword over the tunic, and he tried walking around, but he was not used to them. And he said, "I cannot go in these," he said, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd bag, and with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. David knew had victory because he went in the strength of the Lord alone. Because, see, others can help us. We have to face our giant ourselves. Your giant is your giant. My giant is my giant. And it's kind of humorous. Saul says, "Okay, you can go, but wear my armor." So he puts his armor on. And now remember, Saul is head and shoulders over everybody else in Israel. He's the tallest in Israel's army. David is a youth. Of course it was not going to fit. It was going to be too big. And the principle, what we learn there is others' battles aren't going to help us. We have to fight our own battle in God's strength. And we can't use the gifts that others have. We have to go with what God has given us. For nobody else can fight those battles for us. And also that God used simple things for his glory. In verse 40, David said, "I can't go in this." And he went to the stream, picked 5 smooth stones up, put him in his bag, and what he had was a slingshot and a stone, a simple thing. But he said, "I'm going to use that and give that to God." And the simple thing is that we return to the Lord. That's what God uses. Why? Because the glory then goes to him. When this victory came, everybody was going to know. When David said, everybody's going to know that it's the Lord who brings this victory, because the battle belongs to him as we go in his strength. And when the Lord gives us victory over those giants and they fall, we know it's only by his strength. For when we are weak, then we are strong. For God magnifies his name when we are weak. And David says that the battle belongs to the Lord. And he said, everyone will know Verse 47, everyone gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord is saves, but for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. So rely on the strength of the Lord to help us, because we can't face those battles. We can't face those giants in our own strength. It's only with God. And then go forth, because the battle belongs to the Lord. And then go forth in faith is the fourth thing we see. Verse 41 to 50. David then engages a giant. It says, meanwhile, it kind of reads like a movie script. Meanwhile, I'm back in the valley where the giant is gathered. He's gathered there with his shield bearer in front of him. He kept coming closer to David. And David looked, he looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome. And he despised him. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And he says, come here. I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And what did we learn there? Go forth in faith and stand your ground. And David was going to stand his ground. He was not going to give in to the taunts, to the deception, and the lies of the enemy. And the enemy wants us to do that. When we go and engage him, he's going to throw lies and deceptions at us. And he's going to make us do that so that we won't stand our ground. He'll say things like, it's useless. Why try? This giant's too big. There's no way you can ever beat him. There's no way you're going to have victory over this. It's useless. Don't even try. And he does that to get us discouraged and say, I'm not even going to bother trying to fight it. You ever been there when we have those thoughts? We all do. There's no way I can win this battle. He says, there's no way you can win this battle. Don't even try. And that's what Goliath said. He said, I'm going to tear you up and feed you your flesh to the dogs. I mean, there's no way we're going to win this. And that's what our giants try to tell us. But go forth in faith, stand your ground. Don't give in to the taunts of the enemy. Don't give in to his deception. Don't give in to his lies. And believe that the battle is already won. When the enemy said to David, Goliath said, come here, I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air. Look what David said. He responded back to him in verse 45. He says, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, which you already talked about his name before, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. David already believed that the battle was won. And when he went into that valley, he knew he was gone in the strength of the Lord to face that giant, what seemed impossible, but he knew he was gone in the strength of the Lord, and the Lord had already won the battle for him. You know what? We all have read, we've read the end of our book, the Bible. And the end of the Bible tells us who wins the war? God, right? And on the cross, Jesus won it. And the battle's already been won for us. And he's won it for us. And believe that. David knew. He said, you're as good as dead, Goliath. The Lord's already won the battle. And go forth in faith, standing your ground, because the battle's been won. Don't give in to the taunts of the enemy. And take the offensive. As we go forth in faith, take the offensive. Verse 48 is interesting. It says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, what did David do? Here's this 9-foot-9 giant with all this armor, David, a youth, and Goliath there in the valley. And what does David do? It says, he ran quickly where? What's it say? He ran quickly to him, towards him, to engage him, towards the battle line to meet him. He did not run away. And then reaching into his bag, he took a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine in the forehead. It stuck into the forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. Running to the battle and not away from it. He ran quickly to Goliath. And that's what we need to do, is run to those battles. Not away from them, and then launch our stone in faith. And that's what David did. He launched that stone in faith and gave it to God. And the gifts that he's given us through his Spirit, his word, he's given us the sword of the Spirit to do battle. And using the armor that he's given us, launch those stones in faith and see what God happens, because there is a stone for every Goliath in our life that we face. Now, I heard people say David picked up five stones and he only used one. Why did he gather five if he believed God was going to give him victory on the first shot? People have speculated about that. And so I heard some people say because David had them for his four brothers that would attack. I don't know if that's true or not. But every stone, there's a Goliath, there's a stone. God has the ability for us to bring that person down, to hit that giant with his strength. So watch the giants fall. Verse 40, 50 says that the stone struck into him, and David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without sword, he struck him down, and the Philistine and killed him. And the battle was won. The giant fell. Going forth in faith, believing that the battle was won in the Lord. And the fifth principle we discover from the word is to celebrate your deliverance. When those giants do fall, when God gives us the victory, don't just end the battle there, but celebrate the deliverance that God has brought, that he enabled us to bring in his power over those giants we face. And it says, David ran and took and stood over him, and he took hold of the Philistine sword and drew it from the scabbard. And after he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. And then the Philistines saw that their hero was dead. They turned and ran, and the men of Judah and Israel surged forward with a shout and praise, and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. And their dead were strewn along the road from Gath to Ekron. And when the Philistines returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. In verse 54, it says, David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the weapons, Philistine's weapons, in his own tent. We'll get back to that. But celebrate your deliverance. Rejoice in his victory. David triumphed, and he rejoiced in what God had done through him and enabled him to do. Continue your pursuit. And it says that they continued and pursued the Philistines all the way to the entrance of Gath. And when God gives us victory, continue that pursuit. Don't let up. Continue to go deeper in our relationship with Christ. Continue to walk with him. And then remember his faithfulness. Verse 54 says that David took Goliath's weapons and he put them in his own tent. You may say, well, why did he do that? I imagine the reason why he did that was so that every time he saw those, a reminder of the faithfulness that God had done for him and the victory that was won, and a way that he could give thanks for the deliverance that God had brought. And every time he saw those weapons in his tent, it was a reminder of how God had given him victory and a testimony of thankfulness for his deliverance. It was a way of building a monument. And remember his faithfulness to you and I when we have those victories that we face. Goliath, giants can be terrorizing. They can bring us to that point of dismay as it did the army. But face them head on. Don't give in to the fear. Call them what they are. Remember how God's given victories in the past. Rely on his strength alone. Go forth in faith, believing that he will give victory. And then when he does, celebrate that deliverance and praise him for what he has done and will do through his power and strength alone. The giants will fall. And what giants in your life need to fall this morning? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it worry? Bring them to him. Face them by faith. And know that through the power of God, there can be victory. Faith is the victory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story that we've heard so often, but yet it continues to teach us, because we have those giants that terrorize us, that every day they come out morning and night and issue their taunts to us. Every day trying to intimidate us and saying, there's no way you can get victory over me. And they try to discourage us and try to dismay us. But Lord, through your strength, the battle was won. And Lord, help us not to give in to fear. Fear is one of the biggest weapons the enemy uses against us. And help us, Lord, not to give in to fear, because the battle belongs to you. You've already won it. To go forth in faith and face those giants, believing that you and your strength to stand strong in your strength, the battle will be won by you. And Lord, remembering how you have been faithful to us in the past. That when we won victories in the past, maybe they were small victories, not like the big giants in front of us now, but any victory that you enabled us to win reminds us that if you are faithful in the past, you will be faithful to help us in the future too. And then when those victories come, those giants fall before you. Help us to celebrate what you have done by your power and by your strength. And we thank you, Lord, for this story, for your working in our life every day. And help us to be men and women, giant killers, slaying the giants at your feet by your strength alone. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.